Should we pray? Dear Lord, open our minds, our hearts, our imaginations, and our lives to your word this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Do take a seat. So I've got to that age, I must admit that I've got to that age where probably one of the most common sentences that is heard shouted out from the office or wherever I am in the house is, where are my keys? Or has anybody seen my glasses? I probably now say either one of those two sentences more often than I say, because I used to say things like, oh, is that where we put these things now? That used to be quite a common one. But this one is, these ones have overtaken that. Don't worry, I'll pick that up for you. That used to be quite a common one. But where are my glasses? Or has anybody seen my keys? I probably haven't said that sentence as often as Boris has said, get Brexit done. But I have said those sentences or sentences very much like that I've just reached that age, haven't I? And I'm just wondering, why do you think I go around looking for my keys and my glasses and other items? Why do you think that is? Shout out an answer. Cool, blimey, it's like the words of Mrs. Brindle coming at me from on high. The wise words again. That's probably something to do with it. Yep, any other thing? Because I need them. It's not just that I've lost them. It's not just that I've lost my keys and I've lost my glasses. It's because I need them. If I'd have lost a Brittle City season ticket, I wouldn't have worried, because I don't need one. Who needs one? If I'd have lost a West Ham football shirt, who worries? I don't need it, those things. But I need my keys to open my front door, and I need my glasses to help me to see. And I go to quite ingenious levels to, apart from putting them in the same place every time, I have actually just bought a little set of hooks for my keys and my glasses. It's just the inability to use those set of hooks that I struggle with. I've got several pairs of glasses that lie around the house. Maybe other people do that one. I did spot online that you can get a pair of glasses that you know you can ask Google to find your phone. You can actually ask Google to find your glasses if you have something put inside the arm of your glasses. So the glasses ring for you wherever they are. That would be quite cool. So I've put time, energy and effort, and I've actually unfortunately put quite a bit of money because I've lost a good pair of glasses that I had, and these are the replaced. By the way, if you've got a pair of glasses that are not your glasses and look a lot like this, I'm happy to have them back at any time. Though I've been going to church pretty much on and off all my life, since I was a baby I've been going to church, I only found what I was looking for. I only found Jesus in my 20s. So before that, I'd done a lot of churchy stuff. So I'd, heard a lot of Bible. I'd had a lot of Bible stories said. Steve last week was really thankful for the Bible stories that were said to him during his childhood. I think I just wasn't interested and wasn't listening, and I can't remember that. So, but I'd had a lot of Bible said to me and told to me in my childhood and young and early teens. As a young child, I was an altar boy. So, from very early on, I've kind of been up here and stood there with a silver staff with a candle on the top, and had the smells and bells, and that's been part of my sort of childhood. And I can distinctly remember my first Holy Communion. Because my mum's Maltese and we were in Malta and it was in Valletta and it was one of the big churches in Valletta, and I wore the most ridiculous clothes. They were bonkers clothes. They were long socks that came all the way up to here with, what are those sort of things that go around here and there's tassels there? Garters, very hip. I wore garters and these velvet pants that were crushed black velvet pants that were tied at the bottom, and you know, all gathered at the bottom, and a white shirt and a velvet waistcoat. And there was this, my sister was next to me, and she looked like a bride. So we looked very, it looked very weird. And we processed through Valletta, and there was flags and banners, and there was loads of other kids doing it. I didn't really know what was happening. It was all in Maltese, to be honest. I did get ice cream at the end. I do remember that, and it was good ice cream. So, at the time, I didn't need that. I didn't know I needed it. I didn't know what it was that I needed that could have been provided for by the church, by all that stuff that was happening. It was as if the church was over here, and anything that I needed in my childhood and in my teens, particularly to do with the stuff that was going on in my slightly dysfunctional home, my parents' home, that was over here. And these two things didn't really meet. And Jesus was kind of not really anywhere to be seen. God only knows where Jesus was in some of this. But I wasn't particularly looking for Jesus, because my needs and the things that were going on in my life seemed to be so far away from this. But then in my 20s, I had a need that I couldn't work out for myself. I had something that I was looking for something that I couldn't resolve myself. And that was, I wanted to marry Anna, but my father had mucked up his marriage, my grandfather had mucked up his marriage, and my great-grandfather had mucked up his marriage. And before I proposed to Anna, I wanted reassurance. I wanted some kind of certainty that I wasn't going to muck up. I wasn't going to make the mistakes that seemed to be inherent in my family, particularly with the blokes and their sort of misbehaviour and stupidity. So I was looking for this certainty in this future. I wanted some kind of reassurance. I wanted the uncertainty of the future to be changed for certainty. Then one day, Anna and I, this is just before we got married, I think, Anna and I went to visit some friends of mine, an older Christian couple, Phil and Penny. It was Phil and Penny that actually brought me to have a living faith. We went to their house, and it was one Saturday morning, and Phil led a very short meditation where we looked at a gospel story. I think it was the story of Jesus and who's a tax collector? I've gone blank. Zacchaeus, the shorter one. Yes. It was Jesus and Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus was in the crowd, and Zacchaeus was trying to get sight of Jesus. And in the meditation, Phil said, imagine that you're there in the crowd. And imagine that you're there in the crowd, and Jesus turns to you and looks directly at you. And what does Jesus say in your imagination? What is Jesus saying to you? And this was a very ordinary Saturday. It was in Suffolk. It was slightly dreary and damp outside. It was a very ordinary day. Phil and Penny are very reasonably ordinary people. Their house is very ordinary. Their living room is very ordinary. There's quite a bit of brown in it. And then, in amongst all that ordinariness, for a moment, really vivid, really full of colour, in my imagination, Jesus turns to me and smiles. He sees me completely, and he just smiles. And I can't remember if in that Jesus says anything, but I'm just overwhelmed. I'm completely floored by his love for me. And then I spent a good part of the rest of the morning sobbing and crying and apologising for sobbing and crying and kind of, you know, snot dribbling and, you know, it was just a bit of a mess. And then another time, when I was visiting Phil and Penny, I went to the pub with Phil, and I told Phil about my kind of anxieties and worries about marrying Anna, you know, about my sort of desire for reassurance. And I think because Phil was kind of like a better father figure than my actual father was, I think I was looking for him to give me that reassurance, to give me that kind of confidence to step out on it. I think probably subconsciously, I was looking for him to give me that reassurance so if it did fail, I could blame it on him. You know, I was kind of wanting to abdicate responsibility a little bit and go, oh, come on, Phil, you said it would work. But he was a wise bloke and savvy to what I was, to the entrapment I was trying to place him in. And he just said, I can't give you that reassurance. Nobody can give you that certainty. What we've got as we step out into our uncertain futures is one thing. God's certain presence with us through Christ and His love. As we step out into uncertain futures, what we've got is God's certain presence with us and His love that will overwhelm and surround us. So I went looking for certainty, and what I found was in Jesus a certain love. Which leads me to a question. What are you looking for today? What change are you longing for? And where are you looking for it? See, John the Baptist in our story was looking for something. He was anticipating, waiting, and had spent his lifetime looking for something. He was looking for the coming of the Messiah. And I need to go back a bit and give you a bit of backstory there, because the coming of the Messiah means a huge amount if 2,000 years ago we were having this conversation and you were all Israelites. Okay. But for some of us, we just need a little bit more information. So God's people, Israel, were supposed to be God's light in the world, to show those that were living in the surrounding areas what it was to follow God, what it was to worship God, and instead of what everybody else was doing, which was worshipping the stuff made by humans. Not just physical stuff, but all the other stuff that we make. So they were worshipping gold and money and statues and iPhones and status and power and the size of their armies and their nice comfortable homes and their assured pensions and slim waistlines, and just in case anybody else is thinking that I'm picking on you, and carbon bike frames. But instead, in that situation where God's people were supposed to be showing what it meant to be worshipping God and to be living a life that was different as a result of worshipping God, that actually relied upon, trusted God rather than relied upon and trusted other stuff. Instead of doing that, the people of God, again and again, kept being changed by the world rather than changing the world. They ended up worshipping the same stuff. They ended up worshipping the kings, the power, the army, the status, the gold that the rest of the world was worshipping. But it never worked. It never satisfied. It never fulfilled. And eventually the people of God would go back to God and try and work it out again. But after a couple of generations, the people of God would see what was going on around them and get tempted and get swayed into worshipping all that other stuff that everybody else was worshipping. And then 700 years before Jesus, Isaiah, a man who knew God's heart, turns up and he says, God is going to bring a Messiah. He's going to bring a Messiah into this situation. and he will be the light of the world that will show the people, the nations of the world, what it is to worship God and to live life in accordance with whom God is, and to rely and to trust and to depend on God rather than other stuff made by human hands. And that was 700 years before Jesus shows up. And in that text that we've read from Isaiah, he clearly says what the Messiah will do, what the Messiah will be like. He says that the Messiah, this promised Savior of God's people, was going to come, and he was going to open the eyes of the blind, that the deaf would hear, that the lame would walk, that good news, the good news who God was, would spread throughout the kingdom. The Messiah would bring about the change that the world needed. And this is what John the Baptist was looking for. This is what John the Baptist was waiting for. He was looking for what he needed the most in life. That's what he'd been waiting for. That's what he'd been anticipating. Now remember, John the Baptist, he's in jail. And more important to him than finding a way to escape from jail, more important to him was to look for and find the Messiah. And when he did think that Jesus was the Messiah, he didn't tell his friends, look, go find that bloke, find out if he's the Messiah, and then get him to come back here and get me out of jail. That's not what he asked for. He said, go and tell and see if he is the Messiah. Because he knew that actually he, his family, his friends, the nation around him needed this promised Messiah, the light of the world to shine in the darkness. Because he could have gotten out of jail, but the stuff that got him into jail in the first place, because he was wrongly accused, an innocent man, the nonsense and the rubbish that got him into jail, all that stuff around Herod, that's the stuff that the Messiah deals with. All that human wrong stuff that was to do with power and greed and authority and status that wrongly put John the Baptist in jail. That wouldn't have been resolved just by John the Baptist getting out of jail. He needed, and he knew the nation needed, something bigger and better. So when I lose my glasses, I know that I found my glasses because they look like my glasses. That sounds rather straightforward, doesn't it? By the way, just in case, if you found a pair of glasses that don't look like your glasses, just check that they're not my glasses. Okay. And it's the same with my set of keys. I know how many keys there are on my set of keys, and I kind of know they're my keys when I find them because they look like my keys. Also, I know that they're my glasses because when I put them on, they do what I need them to do. And unless Anna changes the locks on our house, which is, you know, always a possibility, I know that my keys will open my front door. And that's how I know they're my keys, because they're opening my front door. And when John the Baptist says, go to Jesus and see if he's the Messiah, he knows that Jesus is the Messiah because Jesus does what the Messiah should do. He does all those things that Isaiah talks about healing the blind, the deaf, the lame, and going out and being the change that the Messiah, only the Messiah could be. And I knew in my 20s that I'd found what I was looking for, because in Jesus I'd found the answer to the need that I had. Well, actually, not the need that I thought I had, that need for certainty, but the need that we all have, that need for certain love, a promised Saviour. And this has changed me more than anything else. You know, and if I'd have got the need that I wanted, promised certainty, which is a bonkers need to want, but we all sort of desire certainty, don't we? If I'd have got that, what kind of person would have that changed me into compared to knowing God's certain love? So what are you looking for today? What change do you long for? And where are you looking? Because unless you come to a point where you ask Jesus if he could be the answer to your need, whatever it is, you might never find Jesus. You could come to church week in, week out, year in, year out. You might serve at the altar and you might have a fancy pants confirmation service. And yet the church could be here and your need could be here and Jesus could be God knows where and your need might never meet Jesus. The truth is that we find Jesus as we find anybody of significance in our life, in our vulnerability and our need. And we encounter the change that we long for. Actually, maybe not the change that we long for, because I long for certainty and I found love. But the change that we need, we find that in Jesus. And it is as simple as that for most of us. The truth is that we find Jesus in our need and our vulnerability. Think about the most precious, closest human relationship you have. You have shared need and vulnerability with that person. They've traveled with you through it and they know you and they accept you and they love you all the more for it. It is exactly the same with Jesus. Imagine if tomorrow, instead of allowing whatever it is that blinds you, that deadens you, that corrupts you, that makes you less able to get along with others, imagine if instead of allowing these things to take a hold, these things to continue to change and mold you, you went to Jesus in prayer and asked, Jesus, if you are what I am looking for, then bring about the change in my life that I need. If you are the thing that I am looking for, then bring about the change in my life that I need. And if you prayed that tomorrow, and the day after, and the day after that, and so on, what change might come about in you? One thing is for sure, you'd be a follower of Jesus and not a follower of stuff. Amen.